Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of our special guest from this past weekend. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's the sermon from this past weekend.
You have everything, right?
Yeah, Dad, I got everything. I got the stove, the sleeping bag, the liners, the matches, and the cooler.
Clean underwear?
Yeah, when Jenny packed the girls' bags, I'm sure she packed the girls' clean underwear.
No, I mean for you.
Yeah, it's in here somewhere.
Because if you forgot, you
Dad,
know...
Dad, I didn't forget them.
If not, you just flip them inside out. You'll be fine. Hey, now remember, the s'mores. You want to make sure you get the chocolate.
I know, Dad. I need to melt the chocolate before I add the marshmallows. That way, it all melts smoothly.
Taking both girls camping. I can't even imagine what that would be like. I mean, it was one thing taking you and your brothers, but girls. Wow, that's a whole different ball game.
I can do it.
No doubt. No doubt. Hey, son.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Have a great weekend. Make some good memories with those fine girls of yours. It's a privilege being a dad. You get to show them God's big old world, probably some stuff they've never seen this weekend. Just remind them who made it. Have fun with them. Laugh a lot. You were always such a serious little guy. Hey, I love you, boy.
I love you too.
Who are you talking to?
Nobody.
Hey!
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready, Daddy!
All right.
You're really gonna do this, aren't you? Why don't you just take her to the mall? Maybe ride a carousel, watch a movie?
I got this, trust me.
At least let me take this one.
Are you kidding me? She looks like me and has your personality. She's the life of the party. Why would I do that?
Clean underwear.
Why does everybody keep asking me about that?
Here's your diaper panties.
It's called underwear.
Why don't you let me go with you?
No.
I think your dad would be proud of you, even though there are much easier ways to celebrate Father's Day.
Maybe. But you know what? It's what we do, me and my dad. It's our thing.
I know.
Happy Father's Day. I'm so glad that you are joining us for worship today. It's going to be a great, great day today. Hope that you've already felt blessed, already felt encouraged, and already felt a part of this community. I'm so excited today because there's a real treat that you're in store for. Today, there's seven different voices that are going to just speak into your life today. They're seven fathers. There are elders here at Arapahoe Road. And I've asked our elders just to take about 5 minutes each to share from a scripture that's been so meaningful to them, just as fathers or as grandfathers or father figures in the lives of their family and others that they have influence over. And so would you just, for the next few minutes, sit back and enjoy our elders speaking into your life. And so what you'll see is a passage of scripture, and then our elders will share and pray pray over you, and you'll see some different scriptures and have some different prayers prayed over you. And then we'll be back in a little bit to wrap this time up and wish you a happy, happy Father's Day and a great Sabbath day of rest and recreation and enjoyment. Don't forget, that's one of the things that God commanded us to do. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And so I hope that that this will be a time where your heart is restored, your heart is encouraged, your soul is saturated with God's oxygen, and He's just blowing fresh wind and fresh oxygen into your life, into your soul. And I pray that what our elders are going to say today will help make that happen, and that the Lord would use what they say in a special way. So sit back and watch this.
Hi, my name's Kendrick Baker, and I've been asked to share a Father's Day thought with you. And the thought that I'd like to share is one of our spiritual heritage that's been handed down to us, the legacy of faith that's yours if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And I'd like to do that using the story of Abram, who was a man who followed God. Quite literally, he followed him away from his home and his kin to a place that God was going to show him. And in Genesis chapter 15, we see that God came to him and said, "Do not fear, Abram. I'm a shield to you, and your reward will be very great." And Abram said, "What will you give me, for I'm childless?" And God said that one that comes from your own body will be your heir. And he took him out and looked at the sky and said that his descendants would be as uncountable as the stars in the heavens. And something remarkable is recorded, and that is that Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And what that means is that Abraham hadn't done something to earn righteousness. It wasn't something God owed him. It wasn't something that he deserved, but God gave it to him freely as a gift. And so then we see the story keeps going, and when he's 99, God comes back to him again, 99 years old, and God says, again, "You'll be a father of multitudes." He changes his name from Abram to Abraham to reflect that. Says that next year your wife Sarah, even though she's 90, she'll have a son, and Abraham believes him, and it's kind of something we see throughout his life. So that's kind of a quick overview of his story. There's a lot of richness that we can learn in looking at his life, and but in particular, what we're seeing here is that when God would tell him something, he would believe it. And even when it's wackadoodle stuff, like your 90-year-old wife who's never been able to have a kid is going to have a son for you when you're 100. And so in Romans chapter 4, it says that he was fully assured that what God had promised him, God would perform. And that's called faith. And we see in Galatians 3 that it is those who are of faith that are the sons of Abraham. And what that means is that even you and I, if we're Gentiles, we're not biologically descended from Abraham, we're not Jews, we're still children of Abraham, because we share the same faith that he had. And that's said explicitly at the end of that chapter, where it says that if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. And so what that means is not only are we his descendants when we have the same faith that he had, but we even get to share in his inheritance. And it also says earlier in the chapter, a different way, says that the sons of Abraham are blessed with Abraham the believer. So what is that blessing and that inheritance that we get to share in? I think one of the a key element of that is this phrase that keeps popping up, that Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, or credited to him as righteousness. In Romans 4:23, we see that that wasn't only written for Abraham's sake, but also for our sake, to as those who will to whom it will be credited as those who believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead. And what that means is that in the same way that God responded to Abraham's faith by giving him a righteousness he didn't deserve and a relationship, a rightness with God, he does that for us in our faith through Jesus Christ. When we believe his promises through Jesus, he responds by giving us a gift that we don't deserve of righteousness. And so I find that encouraging to be reminded of that sometimes. And in particular of remembering that God is a God who makes us good promises and who always follows through on those promises. And sometimes it's also encouraging to remember that we have kind of a spiritual family tree that goes back even to Abraham, and a legacy of people who have believed that what God says is true, that we can kind of draw strength from ourselves as we look back on our family and see how God's been faithful to us. Hopefully that's an encouragement to you as well. particularly if you're struggling a little bit with your faith and you need that kind of reminder right now. And if you've never believed in Jesus Christ, I hope that the thing you hear out of all this is that God desires for you to believe him, that what he tells you is true. And there's he's made you promises, and one example of that is a famous verse that you might have heard, John 3:16, that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life." And that's a promise to you and an invitation to believe what he has told you about Jesus. That if you believe that what he has told you is true, he's going to respond by giving you eternal life. And so at Arapahoe Road, we would love to talk with you about that, if that's you, to talk about that God who's made those promises and to talk about the promises he's made, to answer questions we might have about it, and just to walk with you in your faith journey. So if that's you, please give us an opportunity to do that. And now I'd like to pray for us. God, thank you that you make good promises and that you keep those promises. Thank you that you desire for us to be receive good things from you. And I pray that you'd help us to be encouraged in our faith, that you would bring to mind your faithfulness so that we can be stronger when we in our faith and belief in you. I pray that you'd help us to live out lives that act on that belief and that obey you and that bring you great glory. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning, Arapahoe Road. Welcome to this beautiful Sunday. It is glorious. It is great. You know why? Because it's Father's Day. So bless your dad, your grandpa, your my dad, your granddad. So that's dad or grandpa, parents and mothers who have, you know, had to put on that hat to be a dad or a father figure. So bless them this beautiful day. Yes, Mother's Day is every day. So we get one day, fellas, one day. Milk it for all you can, okay? So my name is Bruno Muniz Ferreira Araújo. I'm so glad that you guys are here. And no, don't try the Araújo. I know. Don't roll it. Just keep the Bruno. Tap your neighbor. Say, what's up? We're here. It's Sunday. Let's click it. Let's get it. Y'all watching me? Focus. All right. So, you know, today I'm checking out the Bible verse, James 1:17, which pretty much it is great, full of informational, you know, juices, if you could call it. But here we go. So pick up your Bibles. Let's read it. James 1:17 real quick. It'll be, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So the way that I interpret this is that everything that we do, it is through God. God is the one that brings everything to and through us or for us. And like he said, you know, everything that's good and great is coming from above down, not from below up, y'all, above down. So kids, listen to your parents. Kids, listen to your dad. He knows. I mean, he knows, and I have to listen too. So, you know, it is always something interesting, given the times that we have had now, all the changes and everything that's taking place, that we do things honestly, do things with great character, do things with great attitude and forthcoming in what we do. Nothing that we do is unknown. He knows everything. Even whenever we get up at night, get that late night snack, when we're supposed to be dieting, eating healthier. So that's the shadows area. Yeah. No, don't go there. Stay in the light, do your diet, eat right, okay? So, you know, bless on one another, you know, give high fives, air hugs, you know, with everything that we have going on. And don't forget, we first and foremost do what we do for him, not for us. And we're always be able and ready for him to use us in any situation that you might see and might come through. Or, you know, even if somebody, for example, has a flat tire, hey, God may shine that light on you and be like, hey, make that stop, help him out. So what, you're 5 minutes late, you tell your boss, all of a sudden it's like, whoa. You know what? Go home early. Don't worry. You get paid for it. Bam! That's a blessing. So with that being said, enjoy this beautiful Sunday, this beautiful Father's Day. Woo! Yeah, all the dads, point to yourself. Tell the kids, hey, he's talking about me. That's right, me. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, right here. Our day, kids. Our day, moms. Mom, I know, you're still, your day's every day, Mom. We get one day. So with that, let's close in prayer, y'all. Close your eyes. I see you peeking. Stop it. Close your eyes. Dear Lord, thank you for your blessings, for your love. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here this morning in order to be with you, in order to be a part of your community, in order to be in action, Lord, that we're able to be way makers, to be doers, to be, Father, oh Lord, your hands, your feet, the body, Lord, that these days it looks differently because we're not in congregation together yet, but we're together online, virtually, and we're able to speak life into others, Lord. So give us guidance, give us wisdom, give us discernment to do what it is right, what it is that you have set forth for us that we don't know, but you do, Father. We thank you for your many blessings and your love. Thank you for this one day, woo, that we get today for that. Woo, in your son Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen.
Good morning, church family. Today I'd like to speak to you on 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, and what it means to me to be a father. When Pastor David first asked the elders to speak about what it means to be a father, I spent several days thinking about what I was going to talk about. But my mind always came back to Paul's relationship with Timothy. So I started reading through 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, and I settled on 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Earlier here in verse 2, actually, we see that Paul addresses Timothy as my beloved child. So while Paul was not Timothy's birth father, he was very much a father figure to Timothy. So today, my thoughts and prayers are for all fathers, whether they are fathers by birth or by other circumstance. So in verse 3, Paul starts off by thanking God whom he serves. So fathers, don't let your relationship with your child interfere with your relationship with God. It is from God the Father that we learn everlasting, unconditional love. That is what your child needs most, a love that can survive and persevere through the worst times. You are not always like your child, what they say or what they do, but you can always love them. Second, fathers love and guide your children with a clear conscience. Don't hesitate to admit your mistakes and ask for forgiveness, for you will make mistakes. And be honest and humble with yourself before God and with your children. And last, pray for your children night and day. As a father, you want to protect your children physically and spiritually. You do this with advice, setting boundaries, discipline, etc. But you can't always be there, and even when you are, it is God that is in control. Sometimes, all you have left is prayer and giving the situation to God. Thankfully, God is sufficient and can do what we cannot. So now I'd like to pray for you. God, thank you for being our eternal Father who shows us unconditional love. Father, give us a clean heart. Show us our flaws, forgive us, and help us ask for forgiveness from those we hurt so that we can have healthy relationships. Father, hear our prayers for our children. Surround them with your love and protection. Guide them all the days of their life. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hello, I'm John Perry. I am a father of three, my eldest being 19, Evan, and I've got 13-year-old twins, John Michael and Grayson. And these are just some devotional thoughts from me as a father. God led my heart to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 11 and 12. It says, "For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhort each one of you and encourage you and charge you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory." Now, we always, as we're thinking about Scripture, we always want to say, why do I identify with this? Well, the reason why I identify with this is because the struggle is real, and God is good, and I long for proper guidance right now. Whether we're seeking that from our own fathers or our spiritual fathers. So we can always make a broad generalization that our values are strongly influenced by our earthly fathers, good, bad, or indifferent. We judge the world through this filter. Now add the stress that we're feeling in our current situation, sheltering from home or quarantine, our livelihoods have been affected, the tenseness all around us, with the world reacting to the news of George Floyd. There are constant voices outside that are fearful, stressed out, and also have cabin fever, while we're starving for in-person conversations. Then how should we react? Well, we need to go to our Heavenly Father and seek rest in His direction. So let's go back to the text and begin to focus there. So back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 11 and 12, it says, "For you know, like a father with his children." Paul saw the Thessalonican church as a father. He was their spiritual father. So he looked at them differently because of this, and they sought his guidance during this time. The next phrase says, "We exhort each one of you," so that's a strong urge. Fathers, we have a way of urging our kids to work smarter and wiser, always with discipline. And it says, "We encourage you." Another way of saying that is we walk alongside of you. Fathers, spiritual fathers, we need to walk alongside others, cheering for our children for their victories. They love, are loving them not to stay the same. We love them too much to stay the same way. So we want to charge you to walk in a way that is worthy of God. And that's, it's an earnest desperation, a plea that they want to be suitable, be attractive, be all that they can be. So fathers, we should challenge our kids to do good, seek the kingdom of God first, and do what's right in God's eyes. And always remember whose child you are. And the last phrase says, "Who calls you into his own kingdom?" So we have an inheritance. Fathers should always point to the end game, giving glory to God in all things and remembering and reminding children of their spiritual inheritance. Now, Paul, who wrote the book to the Thessalonians, had a proper Jewish background, so he would recall what his father spoke into his life, and it goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, "Diligently to train the child, and you should walk with them while you're sitting down, when you're walking, when you lie down, and when you rise." So it's a constant conversation that he would be having with his children, or with his father to him, and as he was walking with others. So Paul took this responsibility very seriously, and he discharged his responsibility very faithfully. And I just wanted to encourage fathers and spiritual fathers to do the same thing to everyone, and also to seek God and spiritual fathers during this time. So let's close out with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this time that you've given us, and we just want to ask you to tune our hearts to this right now, make our hearts soft, but also to seek you as that father figure that you urge us and encourage us and you challenge us during these times. We want to walk worthy of you and be good stewards and good children during this time, Lord. When we're doing this, may we encourage others along the way. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm Tom King, and I wanted to explain why I chose this particular verse about meditation and the words of my mouth. When I was needing to correct my kids or teach them, and even grandkids now that I'm a grandfather, wouldn't you want your heart to be right with God and Him place the words there and not you? during that moment. And I didn't want those words to mean in anger or in rush or in hate, but because God would know my motives as well as my actions, and then I would be in trouble if it was anything other than what was in my heart. And this could only be done through meditation in my heart if the words would be correct. It says meditation, and it doesn't say off the cuff or in anger or in a hurry. And that's what it meant. My words could not be in haste or in anger or off the cuff. This did not always happen. And you can ask my kids, and they can testify to that. What it did mean was my words had to come from thought and prayer, and this came from daily prayer and meditation on God's Word and on God. In other words, I needed God to put the words in my mouth and in my heart, and it be His words and not mine. Now, it didn't always happen, but the more you practice it, the more it works that way. Now, as a granddad, it becomes doubly important. Would it change our kids or our grandkids' mind if we told them that every word and every thought that we have that God judges, and He knows what they are before we say them, before we do them, and He knows our action? What was really struck me about this verse is David took his words, his meditation, and his thoughts to God as if they were an offering to the altar. Now, that's kind of unique. And I think if we start our day like that, where we know that we're bringing this to God, and we're bringing our prayers, we're bringing our thoughts, we're bringing our meditations to God as an offering. If we start each day like that, I think a lot of times that would correct it. And if we do it in love, it's even a better motive for us to do what we need to do. In other words, God knows what we're doing. He knows our thoughts. He knows our meditations. So if we let Him help us have these, we're better off. Father, thank You for this day and for what You mean to us. And thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You teach us through Your Word. Thank You that we can read it, we can study it, and we can meditate on it. And just help us to know You know our motives, You know our actions, and You know our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey friends, if I have not met you yet, my name is George Butler, and this is my third Father's Day as a dad. And I can tell you, I still love saying that out loud. When Pastor David asked us to share something today that was from a father's perspective, a couple of things came to my mind. One thing that I started to reflect on was my relationship as a father with my daughter. The other thing that came to my mind was my relationship between me and God as my Heavenly Father. There's so many things that my daughter does that just makes me love her more and more every day. Her innocence, her childlikeness, her pure joy and wonder at things in the world, her laughter, her giggles, and her big hugs that she gives me. My daughter is 2 years old, and thankfully, she's still at an age where she loves her daddy, and she wants to be around me, and she wants affection from me, and she runs to me for protection when she's scared, and she seeks me out for provision when she needs help, and she longs for that feeling of being safely loved. When I come in the door after work, sometimes it makes my heart leap in my chest. Like most little girls, my daughter longs for affection from her dad. And she loves to be cared for by her dad. And at 2 years old, she clearly wants and needs these things from me. But she doesn't always have the words to articulate those needs. So instead, sometimes she expresses them to me just by reaching out for me and reaching up for me and grunting, longing for me to pick her up so that she can feel her love for me and my love for her. And you know what? Truth be told, I love those moments. I love those moments, and as her father, I want them to continue forever. But at 2 years old, there's also times when she doesn't express those feelings toward me. Because sometimes she's distracted by a toy or a book or a TV show, or she's mad because something didn't go her way. And on those days,
I come home looking for her, wanting to find her so that I can express my love for her because I've missed her. And on those days, I don't hear her call out, "Dada!" And I don't hear her feet tapping across the floor as she runs to meet me because she's engrossed in something else at that moment. So on those days, I call out to her, hoping that she'll hear my voice and run to me, but she doesn't. Because there's something else that she loves more than me in that moment. And it's frustrating because I know that if she would just turn her attention toward me, that I would wrap her up in a hug and make her feel so loved and so appreciated and so valued and so adored and so much better than that toy or that show or that distraction that's in front of her at that moment. But I don't force it. You know why? Because I want her desire for me to be real and genuine and not just a means to an end so that she can check a box and say hi to me and somehow earn 10 more minutes of screen time. And as I think about this love that I have for my daughter, I can't help but reflect on the love our Father in heaven must have for us. And I know that He longs for our attention. And I know that He longs for our love, just like I long for that from my daughter. And sometimes I wonder if God's heart leaps in His chest when He hears us call out to Him in prayer, or when we run to Him calling His name. And I wonder if when we reach our arms out, when we worship to Him sometimes, and we hold our arms up while we sing, if He sees that the same way I do when my daughter's reaching out to me without all the right words and just longing to be loved by her dad. You know, for many years, I wanted to be a dad really badly. And frankly, in a lot of ways, Father's Day had become a painful reminder to me about what I didn't have that I wanted really badly. So let me acknowledge that for some, today is absolutely joyful. And the love you feel may even make your heart leap in your chest. And let me acknowledge that for others, today is painful. Either because you're longing for fatherhood, or because your dad isn't with you anymore and you miss him so much. Or because you never knew a relationship with an earthly father that made your heart leap in your chest. Whatever this Father's Day is for you, let me remind you about something that is true of your Heavenly Father. If you have made that wonderful decision to confess your sin and follow Jesus with your life, then I want to remind you today, your Heavenly Father loves you. Your Heavenly Father adores you. Your Heavenly Father is just waiting for you to call out to Him and reach out to Him so that He can love you. And sometimes, like my 2-year-old daughter, we get distracted, don't we? We get distracted by something that seems interesting and fulfilling in the moment. Maybe that's a relationship or a hobby on a beautiful sunny Sunday morning. The busyness of life or even the warmth and the comfort of family. And because we aren't paying attention to His presence in our life, we find that we don't run to Him. And we don't hear Him calling out to us, inviting us to turn our attention to His waiting love. Or perhaps we think that we have slipped too far away from His love for that to ever be a reality in our relationship with Him again. If you are any of these things today, let me remind you on this Father's Day about the Heavenly Father's love for you. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, be reminded today that we have a God, a Father, who is waiting for us to turn our attention toward Him so that He can bless us and love us and adore us and provide for us and lovingly correct us and restore us to whole and restore us to fullness and a full relationship with Him. On this Father's Day, won't you join me in giving thanks to God for this great love for us? I want to pray for you right now. Let's pray together. Father, as we do reflect on You and the great love that we receive from You through Your Son, Jesus, God, I'm just so thankful that You're a God that values love. You're a God that created love. You're a God that has made a way for us to turn back to You. Lord, help us to lay down the distractions in our life and turn our heart's attention and focus to You. Father, give us the courage to receive that, no matter what has happened in our past, and to receive that in a way that would restore us to wholeness and fullness. Lord, we love You, and it's in Your Son's name that we pray today. Amen.
I love that psalm that was just on the screen. I love it so much. I just want to read it again and then tell you a little story behind why it's so significant to me. Psalm 127, verses 4 and 5. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame. And when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. I love the imagery of the arrows in the quiver and the story that is so meaningful behind that particular verse of scripture. Goes back to my dad. Happy Father's Day, Dad. And as you're watching this, I know that you remember how special it was when this picture was snapped here. This was Christmas Day at Mom and Dad's a couple of years ago. This is my dad and my younger brother, Andy, and my youngest sister, Sarah, and then me here. And we've presented my dad as a special gift, and we had a quiver of that on it was burned in that Psalm 127 verses 4 and 5, and then you see all of these arrows, and they're authentic Native American made arrows, and so we presented Dad with arrows just to honor him and to tell him how much we love him and appreciate him. And so I gave an arrow, Allison, my wife, gave an arrow, Jack and Lucy gave an arrow, and then my brother and his wife and his two boys and Sarah and her husband and their two girls all just walked up to Dad with their arrow. And man, what a rich time that was. And you know, just to see those tears welling up in Dad's eyes and to see those arrows going into the quiver and just being able to say, Dad, we appreciate You. We love You. We are so grateful for You. And this verse of scripture just means so much to our family. And I wanted you just to see that. One, because I want to brag on my dad and how much I love my dad. And also because that's just a picture of your Heavenly Father and how much your Heavenly Father is crazy about you. And man, if you've already put your faith, hope, and trust in the Lord Jesus, what the scripture says is that you have been adopted into the family of God. In a sense, you are a quiver, or an arrow in God's quiver, and He loves you so much.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.